What's up, everyone? It's time to answer today's 10-second question. All right, you ready? Here we go. What radio station are you listening to? Time's almost up. 3, 2, 1. The correct answer is WONY Oneonta 90.9 FM Red Dragon Radio. Don't forget to keep it locked.
Many medicines used to treat colds and flu contain acetaminophen, a pain reliever and fever reducer found in hundreds of over-the-counter and prescription medicines. But taking too much or more than one medication containing acetaminophen per day can damage your liver. So always read the label and don't take acetaminophen if you drink 3 or more alcoholic drinks every day. To learn more, visit fda.gov/OTCPainInfo. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Food and Drug Administration.
Hey everyone, you're listening to the WONY Weekly Update. Here are some upcoming events to look forward to. Interested in some winter fun? Happening on Wednesday, March 4th from 2 to 4 p.m. in the President's Garden, check out the Winter Carnival, which has winter-themed carnival games, delicious donut holes, hot cocoa, and even more events to explore. On Thursday, March 5th, Mask and Hammer presents the first showing of Stupid Effing Bird, happening in the Hamlin Theater at 7:30 p.m. More showings are also happening on Friday and Saturday at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday at 2 p.m. On Saturday, March 7th, see the Planetarium show Messengers of Time and Space from 10:30 to 11:15 or the Sky Tonight show from 11:30 to 12:15 in the Perna Science Planetarium Room 018A. Tickets available online. This has been your WONY Weekly Update on WONY 90.9 FM Oneonta. More information about these events and more can be found on Campus Connection. Have a great week, everyone. Keep it locked.
Yo, what's up, DJ Nas from Mark II? Yo, everybody, it's What's in Your Pocket, episode 94. We roll in. We are fast approaching episode 100 here, 100 interviews going your way. Anyways, we are at episode 94 here on Friday, March 6th. It's rainy outside, but at least it's somewhat warm. We have an awesome guest this morning. Somebody from Oneonta who's just an incredible person and has left, right? Did you leave for a little bit?
On and off. From childhood, and I've worked in Albany for the past few years, but Oneonta's always been home base.
Yeah, you always they find their way back all the time. Anyways, the amazing Clark Oliver is here, and we're going to get to interviewing him in a little bit. I'm going to play a song first, and then we're going to talk everything from conception to modern day sitting across from me over here. We're going to start off, though, with a little Madonna. I bought all these 45s recently in the parking lot of Walmart, meeting some, as one does. When they buy something from Facebook Marketplace, right? You know, where are you going to meet? Walmart. I don't like to go to people's houses.
No.
Because it's scary.
No.
So I met them there, and they sold me a very large lot of 45 singles, and
awesome.
And it was amazing. And I got some. It was jam packed with 80s stuff, which is I was missing a lot of. So in terms of a collection, a collector, and so forth. So gonna start off causing a commotion by Madonna. This is an awesome song in a crazy single to have. So anyways, here we go. We're gonna rock this. Then we're gonna come back and talk everything. Oliver of the Clark variation. That's so. I love that song. I love Madonna. It is not a guilty pleasure. It's an awesome pleasure that I will tell everybody about. because Madonna rules. Okay, we're here with Clark Oliver, who's known very well in this town. From what, you may ask? Well, there's some craziness going on here because there's a lot of feathers in said cap of person, correct?
I guess you could say that, yes.
Yeah, you could feel, you know, you can, I will stroke your the ego for everybody on here. I love having people on this show because you get to find out. I've known Clark for quite some time, just as a person, knowing who Clark is, and then got to know you better a couple years ago. We're going to dive into who you are from conception till now, and let's take a look at this first. Let's start this way. So let's go born until, I guess, one of the first big things maybe your people know you from.
Okay.
Right? Which I would think would be
some of the musical theater stuff.
Some of the
stuff,
musical
probably,
theater
yeah.
stuff, right? I mean, you've done a lot since then.
Yeah.
Like an amazing amount of different things, which is yeah. super cool. It's like a renaissance person in some kind of way. Not in some kind of way. I would say a renaissance person. So let's talk about that. So where you from, yo?
Oneonta. Born and raised.
Great yep. Oneonta. And your folks, mm-hmm. right? Here's yes. another, maybe some of us remember, some don't. What did your folks own?
So the Palace Cigar Store on Main Street.
Yeah.
Yep. Classic spot. Folks also might remember our three golden retrievers were always in there.
That's right.
Hanging out in the store. But yeah, a lot of fond memories. I think one time I tried to take some of the candy inside and sell it for a higher price out front at a little table of mine with some lemonade. That is kind of the rooting of my childhood. A lot of time at the good old cigar store.
Yeah, that's where I bought cigarettes. Mm-hmm. I was working at the Autumn.
Okay.
And I would, when we ran out of cigarettes, and everybody smoked back then.
Yeah.
Like everybody smoked.
Yeah.
You know, we would go in there.
I remember they smoked in there.
Yeah, and the Autumn.
Oh, okay.
Oh, and in the Autumn. We smoked at the, when I started there, we smoked. You could sit at the bar and smoke.
Mm-hmm.
You could order like a tofu, like a TLT, and like
eat it.
And these little like gold ashtrays. Yeah, it was crazy. But we would go over to everybody, would be like, "Who's going to Palace?" And like they would send somebody over.
Love that.
Yeah, and then we would Tom.
Yep.
Yeah, Tom.
Tom
would be back there.
I'm sure. Yeah, he always had something to say.
That's oh, Tom's awesome. Sure. Yeah, no, super fun.
He is.
He would always tell me not to smoke cigarettes.
I know.
That was the funniest. I would buy a pack of cigarettes. He's like, "These things are killing you."
Yeah.
I was like, "Isn't that against your business?" He's like, "Eh." You know?
Yeah.
Super funny and awesome. I loved him. But we'd buy all of our cigarettes from there years ago. Okay, so, you know, you grew up in that in a really... It was an interesting store.
Yes, it was.
You know,
it really was.
On all aspects, but
yeah.
Grew up in there, right? Went to what school?
Valley View.
Oh, Valley View. Okay.
Yep,
Valley View.
Yep, and did a lot of theater, dance. I, you know, did kind of all the things, sports and stuff like that until I found out I wasn't too good at any of that. So then I really focused on the dance and the musical theater and the performing arts as a kid here. Did some Orpheus shows.
Yeah, right.
Chip and Beauty and the Beast, which was so fun.
Beauty and the Beast.
Yep. And then grew up dancing at a few dance studios around town, but specifically Stanley Wade, Holbrook Wade.
That's right.
And Wendy Wade taught my mom dance as well. So
that's amazing. Ella went to that studio, and I'm huge... huge fan.
Yeah, Stacy is incredible.
Stacy's amazing. Shout out to Stacy. Where are you? You got to come on my show.
We love you.
I know we do love Stacy. Stacy got to come on the show. I go to the Eden Jackson. Do you know Eden? Do you know Amy Webb?
Yeah, yes, I do.
Okay, so Eden is like my informal goddaughter.
Oh.
Yeah, I've known her since she was born, and I go to her show every year.
Nice.
It's her senior show this year.
Oh,
it's
my God.
It's crazy when you go through that process, because I don't know if you've been to those shows, right?
Yeah,
it's
it like was...
This, This is a big emotional thing, right?
I did my senior solo 10 years ago.
Yeah, that's
this year.
Oh, I was there. Because you know, I've been going for whatever. That's right. Yeah, so I always go to those. So it's every year I kind of watch the people grow up and kind of go through them. I've been going for, I don't know, for a long time. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so that's amazing. Okay, so you start, you're dancing, you're singing.
Yeah.
You're making Oneonta history as, you know, this performer and so forth. And then what happens to that?
Well, you know, part of it was as a child in elementary school here, I did have somewhat of a difficult time. You know, wore my pink Converse, danced around, was just, you know, very clearly doing things a little bit differently than some of the other kids.
Sure.
And I think it really spurred me and my mom, God bless her, to look into other options for me and what else might be out there. So went down to New York City, auditioned for some shows. I think the first thing I ever auditioned for was Billy Elliot. That was the big Broadway show back in like 2009. Got a bunch of callbacks, got very close to the end and ended up not getting it. And that right around that same time, I got into the process of auditioning for 101 Dalmatians, which was a national tour. I think something like 800, 900 kids auditioned in like a really kind of open cattle call type situation where they were just like cutting throughout the day. And I got it. I was shocked, to be honest, but I got it. And after my fifth grade year, we rehearsed in New York City for the summer, and then we toured the country with that production from like October to April 2009 to 2010, and we ended at MSG. So it was...
That's crazy.
It was something. It really was.
So let me ask some questions just about this, because it's just such an interesting thing. So this is fifth grade, so you're 10?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 9, 10.
9, 10 years old, right?
Yeah.
And traveling around United States, right?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, what, by bus?
Well, it depended on the distance. So usually we would fly, but if they were within, I think, like 200 miles, the stops, we would take a bus.
Okay. And there's a lot of people in this production, right?
Yes. And there were 20 Dalmatians, 20 actual dogs. I played a puppy, but there were a lot of people.
There were 20 dogs.
Yes.
That's crazy, right? Having that many people. Number one, that young. Must have been such a kick.
It really was. And like the... You know, some of the kids, there were 8 kids, and some had, like, au pairs with them, and others had their parents with them. My mom came with me, had, like, a tutor that would teach us in one of the small back rooms in the basement of the theater and, like, a conference room of the hotel. It was really wild in retrospect, and I think in the moment, I didn't realize just how crazy of a thing it was, but...
Yeah, it's just an alternative. I mean, life is whatever, and you kind of think of, like, this normal path to go through, and, like, for somebody who does that kind of thing, that's a normal path, you know? Mm-hmm. But for somebody who doesn't, it's like, what? You're doing what? Like, so it must have been interesting learning. How was the, what did you feel about the schooling? I mean, it's just an interesting thing for me because I'm an educator, right?
Yeah, I mean, luckily... I think for a lot of people, their education could have taken a hit for a lot of kids. I mean, the priority was the show and rehearsals. Yeah. And that was, I mean, we were doing 8 shows a week and then traveling on the off day.
So much.
So, yeah, we did the best we could. I did fine. I think probably some of the other kids had a hard time, but I just was... It wasn't where my mind was, you know, like I was just focused on.
Of course, you know, you're like, look at me, I'm on stage.
Yeah, and wanting to even like see the cities we were in.
That
and,
is so amazing. Yeah. What was your three favorite cities from that tour?
Honestly, so we did our tech in Minneapolis. We were there for like 6 weeks because we were getting all, it was like a month maybe, but that's where you do like in a large scale professional theater, you get all the sound set up. There were a lot of props, like the humans in the show wore stilts. So it would give the illusion that like the people playing dogs were much shorter and the humans were taller.
Yeah.
So there was a lot to it. So we were planted there for a month or so. I loved it there. I thought it was a wonderful city.
I've never been.
It's an amazing city.
Amazing.
So probably Minneapolis, we got to go to Miami, which was very fun. And Austin, Texas was also very, very cool. I loved it there.
Yeah, it's a hip place.
Yeah.
I'm not somebody who would be like, I'm going to go to Texas. But I've heard Austin, San Antonio, and Dallas.
Yeah.
I've heard all three of those cities are awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Sometime I'll make it to that. I've never even been in that state. So
yeah.
I'll make it over there. And so let me ask this. The kids that you know, there's eight of you, right?
Right.
About the same age.
Mm-hmm.
Do you still talk to any of them? Are you friends with any of them?
So we keep up on social media.
Oh, okay.
For sure. One of them just had a baby. Another one is like crushing it in the fashion PR industry in the city. Another one ended up on Disney Channel doing, you know, shows on Disney.
Amazing.
So very different trajectories, and it was. I think it really was like the impetus of the whatever length of an acting career, musical theater career we all had, like that's where it all started for all of us. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like I said, it's a totally, you think about this when you go to the shows, right? So you have eight shows a week, right? Mm-hmm. And I've done a bunch of musical theater shows just playing in pits and stuff like that. I mean, at very obviously low level local stuff, but still, and I would say out of the whole thing, probably the pit people are the ones with the most amount of free time because you don't – nobody's, like, practicing with the pit necessarily after the shows start.
Right.
Meaning, like, setup time. Like
yes.
You could show up a half an hour before,
yeah.
And it's funny with the pit people from what I've talked to a lot of people who are professional pit musicians. They're like reading books and stuff, like mm-hmm. in between stuff, because they have the thing so memorized.
Yeah.
They pick up the thing and go, and then they stop for like 20 minutes and then whatever, you know?
Right.
But for the actors and everybody else, it's not like if the show's like, what's the show? Like three and 2.5 hours?
Yeah.
Right. But that's not what you like, that's much longer, right?
Oh my
like,
gosh.
I mean, you have to show up.
Yeah.
Hours in advance,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's this huge, long thing, and then it takes for, you know, it's a big thing.
It is.
It's occupying, and then you're trying, and as a 10-year-old,
mm-hmm,
you're doing that, and then trying to do school, and then seeing all this stuff. It's busy.
It's very busy, yeah.
You know, it's a busy life. That must have been awesome having your mom there, too.
Oh, my God, yeah. We had the best
time. Your mom's
time.
Awesome, by
she
the
is.
Way.
She's the
she
best.
She should come on the show, too. She's also amazing. Yeah, right? So, okay, so you do this amazing thing, mm-hmm, right? And you end at MSG?
Yes.
How many shows at MSG?
It was 2 weeks at MSG, that's so 16 shows, yeah.
Amazing. What did you think of that? I mean, that's just crazy.
Yeah, it was truly incredible. Feeling of being on such like sacred ground on that stage. We were also at the Fox Theater in Detroit, which is an incredible historic theater.
100%.
I feel like even at that age, I felt the weight of the moment and being able to share that moment in that stage with so many other incredible people that came before. I mean, it feels almost at this point, cause gosh, it was like 16, 17 years ago, it feels like a little bit of a past life. So it's very fun to be able to reminisce and talk about it.
For sure. I mean, yeah, it's totally wild, you know? I can only imagine. So you get done with that, right?
Yeah.
And
I didn't want to come home.
Why would anybody want to stop that? You're like, look at this, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what happens after that?
So that, as the tour was coming to an end, we were considering what the next move would be. You know, as I mentioned, there were parts of elementary school that were tough. I think we had some really honest conversations about that possibly being exacerbated in middle school. It's a tough time for kids, especially.
It's the worst. My son's in middle school now.
Oh, God bless.
It's the worst.
So We decided, and again, like, couldn't have done it without the support of my mom, and I'm so grateful to have had a supportive parent, but we flew, I think we had a couple days off, and we flew to New York City, and I auditioned for Professional Performing Arts School on 48th between 8th and 9th.
Okay.
And that I got in, and that's where I was from 7th to 10th grade. So my 6th grade year is when I was on tour, and then when we wrapped up in April for Dalmatians, we came home for the summer and then got ready to move to the city.
So you were living in the middle of Manhattan at that. Is that where you lived?
So, yeah, when we got there, we were subletting an apartment on the Upper West Side, and okay. That was partially because right after I left Dalmatians, I got cast in the Radio City Christmas show with the Rockettes.
Gotcha. That's
so I actually did the production that was in Nashville at the Grand Ole Opry.
Okay.
So I...
And that was in the newer building, not the Ryman.
Yeah, it was right after the flood.
Okay.
So I started school for like a month in New York City in 7th grade. And then that was one of the perks of going to a performing arts school like that is they let you do like what they called on location. So you can like the teachers have to make accommodations for you as a young performer to be able to get all of your education done no matter where you are. So did like a month of rehearsals in Myrtle Beach, and then we were in Nashville for like 2.5 months and did the Radio City Christmas show there. And then I came back and went to school in the city.
Awesome. What'd you think of Manhattan? What'd you think of living in Manhattan?
Well, so we lived in Manhattan for a year, and then we lived in Astoria in Queens for 2 years.
Astoria's awesome, too.
The best. And then we ended up in kind of near Riverdale in the Bronx, but not like the rich part of Riverdale, but it was fine.
Yep. Sure.
And so I lived in 3 different boroughs. My school was a magnet school, so we had kids from every corner of the city who went there, Staten Island, way out in Jamaica, Queens.
What was the name of the school again?
PPAS, Professional Performing Arts School.
Okay.
The big performing arts school is LaGuardia, which is like the famed
school. Of course.
School.
Yeah. And that's still public. This is still one of the public.
It's audition-based public school.
That's right. Okay.
Yep.
Cool.
New York's the best.
New York is the best.
But Onion is after 5 or so years there, I was ready to come home.
Yeah, so that's my question. So you're like, you do 10th grade there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So what makes somebody be like, I'm in New York City going to this amazing school, then I'm going to come back to Oneonta?
Well, I missed my family. I missed my dogs. I missed my dad. I missed my friends. I had a wonderful community of people down there and really had an incredible time. Like,
yeah,
I can't even describe how wonderful it was and how grateful I am that I was able to experience it and get that perspective. It made me the person that I am. But it's expensive to live down there. And, to be honest, there comes a time when you're a teenager and you're not as cute as you were when you were 10. And they can hire 18 and 19-year-olds to do parts for teenagers and not have to worry about child labor laws. And the jobs kind of dry up. So it was really a decision of, like, is this what I want to continue to do for the rest of my life? I thought maybe, but not enough to justify staying. So I came home junior year.
Okay, cool. And then you're back here, right? And then you go junior year, Oneonta High School.
Yeah.
Last 2 years of school.
Mm-hmm.
How was that here?
Honestly, it felt like more of a culture shock to return than it did to even go to the city in the first place. It was very different. And I do feel like in a lot of ways I fell right back into kind of the groove with kids that I was in elementary school with and kids from other schools that I had known forever. But when you're at an art school in New York City, comparatively, it's just a lot of differences. No value judgment, but just very, very different.
Of course not. Yeah, but yeah, it's totally, you know.
So it was, I loved it. I mean, I'm actually really grateful because like two of my best friends who I grew up with were a year older than me. So I got to be here for their senior year and go to parties together and do things together.
Sure.
And really kind of like, I still keep in touch with a lot of my friends from the city, but I'm glad that I got to come back and like end high school with the people that I started with in Oneonta.
That's awesome. And Oneonta, I'm not trying to be biased at all, but I think the Oneonta school system is good.
Me too.
I think it's a really great place to. I think Oneonta is a great place to raise kids.
I would be proud to send my children here someday.
There are obviously issues with everything, and no matter where you are, you know. But I think we try. Mm-hmm. Really hard to give a good diverse education mm-hmm. around here system. Does help with the colleges around as well. So shout out to Oneonta school system.
Yes.
Who my son's going on the Grand Canyon trip in like.
Oh I wasn't here.
You weren't here. So Ella went on the Grand Canyon trip, and now my son's going, and it's still Lisa Michaud doing the.
Of course.
Yeah, she's still
wonderful.
She's still running it. Shout out to Lisa.
Shout out.
Yeah, still running that trip. So you graduate, mm-hmm. right? And then. I know, once again, you from a lot of different things, mm-hmm. right? I'll be like, oh, look what Clark's doing. What's he doing over there, right? Yeah. Just things that you don't realize. Oh, you can do this? Oh, you do this? Oh, that's amazing. You know, I guess when you get to talk to anybody, you're like, what? You know? Mm-hmm. So let's talk about when you graduate, mm-hmm. and this is, you know, you got... 9 years since then?
10 years.
ten years. Dude, wait till it's like my 50, man. Like,
I know.
Wait till
I
it's
know.
Like, oh, your 9,000th high school reunion. You're like, ugh. But no, so 10 years, right? And mm-hmm. in this 10 years, mm-hmm. let's start slow here.
Okay.
And figure out what did you start doing? Right. Mm-hmm. And where were you living? What were your some plans? Did the plans come through? Blah, blah, blah. Right, so.
Oh, you know what they say about when we make plans. I actually ended
up canceling and staying home with the dog, man.
Sounds good. When I went to Binghamton University for a year.
Oh,
and then I ended up coming back to SUNY Oneonta and graduating from SUNY Oneonta during that.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
No, I had no idea you graduated from here.
Oh, I did. Yes, I did.
I didn't even know you went here.
Yeah, I did. I'm an alum.
That's so crazy.
I'm an alum.
What year did you graduate from Oneonta?
Fall 2019, thank God, right before COVID. I graduated a semester early, yeah.
Maybe I did know. I don't know. It's just funny because people, of course you graduated a semester early. That's you.
Yeah,
you go. What was up with Binghamton? Let's go back just a little bit.
Sure.
What was up with Binghamton?
You know, it was great. I loved it. I was proud to get in. It's a wonderful school.
It's a wonderful school.
But I think I got there, I realized how much room and board was, and I was like, why am I indebting myself to just, like, live on campus?
Yeah.
So I ended up, you know, Oneonta has a lot of great scholarships for kids that graduated from Oneonta High School. It was just... at the time when I made the decision, it was like financial in nature, just
sure.
to not be indebted by student loans.
Yeah, it's crazy how much it's room and board that kill you.
Oh my God.
It's not the tuition.
No.
No, it's room and board.
Yeah. So I came back, was at home for a bit, had an apartment on Union Street for a little while.
Yeah. Union Street.
I love Union Street.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I majored in international development studies while I was here, and
I didn't even know that was a major.
I hope it still is.
That's amazing.
So, you know, very always interested in like in politics, geography, international relations, stuff like that. Always of a lot of interest to me,
which will come into play later on.
Yes.
In the life.
I think it was during my second to last semester in. Spring of 2019 is when I ran for the county legislature in Otsego County. So the Board of Representatives.
Yep. Okay. So before we get to that, right, let's look at what's going on during your schooling, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're here at SUNY,
yeah.
right? What else are you doing besides going to school? You working?
I worked for years at Anutto's. Was one of my first jobs.
You know, I didn't know this either.
Yeah,
I didn't know this.
I worked at the depot. I worked at Anutto's. I worked at Price
depot?
Chopper.
Yeah.
Really have run the gambit of doing any job I can in Oneonta since I got back from the city when I was 16.
Oh,
I know. I know.
We love it.
We love it so much.
We love you all.
Such a loss to the community.
Yeah, I wonder if you think it'll open up again.
I have no idea.
Okay.
I have no idea. But I hope it, just the space had the best energy from inside to outside.
Always.
The owners. Yeah. And you know, where can you go where you can walk through like a beautiful greenhouse and then go inside and get local fresh produce? And, you know, Debbie would talk to you about whatever you needed to talk about. If you had a very particular issue in your garden, she'd tell you exactly how to fix it. And was just, just some of the most wonderful people to work for. And my mom worked there too, part-time. Yeah. My partner at the time worked there with me. So I was doing that during college.
Okay.
Did you do any theater shows up here? Or were you doing any Orpheus stuff? Or no, you weren't.
I wasn't.
Okay, you're just,
When I got back from the city, I did Hair at Orpheus, which was one of my dream shows. So that was my junior year of high school.
Was that put up on campus here?
Yeah.
So I was playing in the pit for that.
Oh, my God. It was so good.
That's so funny. I mean, I didn't even realize. Yeah, that was Kim Pat. No. I'm trying to remember who the musical director was.
Probably. I mean, that would make sense. Maybe Dan Chen.
It was either Dan or Kim Patterson. Yeah. Kim's awesome.
I love Kim. His wife was my voice teacher.
Oh, yeah. I love them so much. So I met them in the 90s and have been really good friends. My house sat for them a bunch of times.
They're so great.
Yeah, they're amazing people. But I have some, at some other point, I'll talk to you about some crazy stories with them.
Okay.
They're amazing. So we actually shared a show together.
Really?
That's so crazy because I was the guitar player for that production.
Great show.
Orpheus show.
It's a great show.
Yeah. Happy birthday, AB Baby. Yeah, right? That's so crazy.
And then we ended up, too, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that Oneonta High School let me do Rent my senior year of high school. They let the drama club do, like, a junior version of Rent that had just come out, which was
Ella was in that.
Yes, she was.
Yeah, she was. So I remember that. Mm-hmm. I remember Josette, maybe.
She was, yep, they were both fantastic. And to close out my time at Oneonta as drag queen on stage for a production was incredible.
Of course. I remember.
Ideal, really.
Yeah, this is awesome. Oh, yeah. So, okay. So you graduate.
I graduate, go to college.
You go to college and graduate.
Yeah.
And you graduate in 2019, which is right before.
I graduated right before I got sworn in to office.
Yeah. And then while you're doing this, you run for county board?
Yes.
Yeah. District
11.
11, which encompasses
wards one and two.
One and two, right? And then you're on the county. You did one?
Two terms.
Two terms, so that's 4 years of that. And that's through COVID.
Oh, yeah.
So that must have been a wild thing, too, because there's a lot of medical things going on with the county.
Huge budgetary implications, obviously,
yeah.
Because we as a county are so reliant on sales tax revenue from the student population, from
That's
the tourists
right.
that come here in the summer.
And then when people aren't spending money.
It was catastrophic. So that all started
this.
3 months after I got sworn in. I was 21 years old. And
it's so amazing.
It was a total baptism by fire situation. The county workforce really rose to the occasion. They're the true heroes in that story. And, you know, the folks, there was nothing to do other than accept the reality and do everything we can to try and mitigate to the extent we can. So it was a crazy time to be in elected office to be alive.
Yeah, to be alive. I was telling a story the other day. So I was one of the first professors up here on campus in the first. We were all like a special when the vaccine came out, right?
Mm-hmm.
They had a provision for like the first round of people. And some of them were educators.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you could go back in person.
Right.
Right. After the whole thing shut down. And I got on a list for that. So I was on the A list or whatever to go. Because I was one of the people who said, I'll come back. Because, you know, as a performing artist, you can 100% imagine that teaching any kind of music online is a complete logistical nightmare.
Totally.
I was just doing an online lesson the other day, and I had lag from up here, and it was just annoying.
Yeah.
I couldn't even hear that. I was like,
And you want to be with people in the room when you're making music.
We're the same. We're people.
Yeah.
People, right? Yeah. So, like, you know, anyway, so I signed up for it. So I got to come back, but out of my 20-something students, only two were here in person.
Wow.
But I was – I set up a little I had a Razor scooter up in the music department, and there was nobody else here. So I set up a little obstacle course and some jumps. So I would, like, in between my stuff, I have a bunch of videos saved from me, like, doing all these wild things and, like, crashing and stuff like that in the hallway. Because I was also kind of losing my mind, right, as we all did.
Sure.
You know, I'm just like, what am I doing here? I'm in, like, a midlife crisis, like, riding a Razor scooter when I'm supposed to be teaching guitar, but people weren't showing up because they were sick. And, like, if I go outside, am I going to catch this thing and die?
Well, that's it. The Razor scooter is a positive outlet.
That's right. You know, it's totally – anyways, that – just going back and looking at that was nuts. So you're like in the throes of this thing with the county while that's going on. So you served 4 years there.
I did.
Right. And during that time, because as we all know, one cannot live off of well, maybe they can.
No.
Can one live off of the pay from being a county representative?
I mean, unless they're independently wealthy and doing it as a side gig, no.
That's right. The answer is no, basically, to this. So what,
and it's a part-time job. But.
100%. Right. Full-time mentally, part-time
well,
pay.
Well, that's fair.
Yeah, that's right. We'll put it that way. such as governmental, elected official work of this kind of nature, right? So you do that from 2019 to 2023, right? And what else are we doing? What else are you doing during? I mean, COVID hits, so like we kind of debt.
Yeah, it stunted me a little because I did end up going to grad school eventually, but I just was kind of delayed because I'm like, I don't know, you know, it was just a very strange time. So
yeah.
For a year or so, I worked at the Susquehanna SPCA as an adoption counselor.
Was Sarah working there at that time or not?
No, she started right after I left.
Okay.
Awesome. I love her.
Oh, yeah. We're both like, we love Sarah. Shout out to you. You should come on the show. You're amazing.
She's
I love you.
So wonderful, multifaceted person.
The best.
But yeah, so I was there and I was an only child, grew up with animals, love animals. And it was funny because, like, Stacy, the executive director, is just one of the best human beings, especially to work for, but just overall, the way that she has fundraised and built up that shelter is truly incredible.
She's still there, right?
She is there.
Yeah, they just felt like a farm.
Yeah, they are truly like the example for the rest of the state.
It's amazing.
And, you know, Superheroes is incredible too, and we have so many people in the community serving animals. But I worked at the SPCA and it got, after like a year or so, I think it started to be like, Clark, we can't, like, when it was tough, there would be very difficult things that we would see, and it was kind of a joke, but it kind of wasn't. They'd be like, Clark, like, I don't feel like we can tell you things because you're just going to cry. Like, we know you're going to cry. So I was like, all right, I got to.
My heart.
I know. It was hard, but it was so rewarding. It was truly one of the most rewarding things I ever did. So I did that for a year or so. And then right after I stopped doing that, I started at Rockefeller, UAlbany, getting my Master of Public Administration.
Oh, okay. So this is what you got your master's in.
Yep.
Okay.
And then while I was getting my master's, I was waiting tables at the Autumn and bartending at the Autumn. And I was teaching tap here at SUNY Oneonta.
That's right. So we have all this crazy stuff going on. So first of all, University of Albany is awesome.
Love it.
I think it's a great school. I grew up in that area. I grew up in Schenectady.
Okay.
So I have a lot of friends from that era. My sister lived on Lark Street for a long time. And stuff
nice.
Like that. So, like, you know, all those kinds of things. During this time you're going to school, you're commuting, right? Or you're living out there?
I did it almost entirely online.
Oh, you did?
For my last year, though, because it just wasn't doing it for me, I did go out of my way to go up one day a week and do one of my classes in person.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then during this time, you'd mentioned some other things. So,
the Autumn.
Tap. Well, let's talk about tap first, right?
Yeah.
So, a lost art form to degree, right?
My favorite.
Yeah.
And style of dance.
Every once in a while, I watch, I like old film noir, black mm-hmm. movies and stuff like that. And I'll just watching all of those 50s Fred. And all that stuff. And just kind of Rita Hayworth, like all mm-hmm. that stuff is just kind of watching it. You're just like, this is insane.
It's incredible.
Yeah. It's absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. So you learned that through...
That was the first dance class I ever took at, like, 3 years old, I think.
Oh, okay, it was tap. Okay, yeah. So you did that more or less. Was any of that involved in any of the musical theater stuff you had done? Were you tapping at all in any of the shows?
I did a documentary about... his name was Paul Draper. He was a really renowned tap dancer, and they were doing a lifetime dedication documentary to him. So I actually was in that and did demonstrated some of the tap moves and stuff and was a dancer doing that. But in most of the shows I did, tap wasn't woven in. But I did get to use it there, which I'm grateful for. And then when I was in the city, I would go to Steps on Broadway after school almost every day, which is a dance studio on the Upper West Side, and take class.
That's amazing. So you taught tap here.
I did. Right? It was one of my favorite things I've ever been able to do, largely because I like to teach just in general. I enjoy teaching people, and I would ask it was a beginner tap class. So yep. I did it for 2 semesters, and at the beginning of both semesters, I would ask the kids, like, you know, why are you here? And if it's just for an art credit, that's totally fine. If you genuinely want to learn about tap, that's great. But I just want to understand kind of like what the lay of the land is with you all.
Yep.
And by the end of it, like I had, especially my second semester, I had like 6'4" basketball players. I had girls who had danced their entire lives. I had kids who, like, it was just such a wonderful array of students. And during that time, I had a very difficult loss in my life, and they carried me through it too in such an interesting way because we were dancing together. And we would joke, like, I would say to them, all right, like, when you're downtown at Jimmy T's, if you're 21, when you're downtown,
if you're 21.
Don't you want to look good dancing? Like, don't you want to be able to get on the dance floor and like move to the rhythm and dance? And that was what it was all rooted in. And I think that's why we had so much fun.
Sure.
I was only a few years older than them too at the time. Of course. So
yeah, I started here when I was 22. So I get it.
I loved it.
Yeah. You're like, you see them out in the public too. Yeah. You know, so.
I wish life had worked out that I could have done that for a bit longer, but.
No, things come, things go. You never know what the future holds.
It's true.
Right? So you do that, and then you're also start working at the Autumn, mm-hmm. which I was at for 20 years.
Yes.
I cooked at the Autumn for 20 years with Tim Johnson and Andy and Nancy, who love y'all. Love y'all.
True institution.
Yeah, and... Yeah, and I owe so much of my upbringing to that kitchen and that establishment. And at that point, though, this was the new Autumn started in 2018.
Ooh, that sounds 7? Right. I feel like it was a little before that. 18, I feel like it's been maybe? Almost 10 years, yeah.
Yeah, so, okay, so it's about 10 years. And then with Wayne.
Yes.
The Carringtons, who were amazing.
Shout out.
Right, Wayne, once again, another Love person him. Who, the Carringtons I knew from that, subduing Mara, his mm-hmm. band. And,
yeah.
And Aben went to the prom with Ella.
Oh, I didn't know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they went to the prom together. Aben and Ella went. Yeah, it was
great
awesome.
Great kids, great family. They've been so good to me.
Yeah, the whole family's incredible. Shout out, once again, we're playing actually at the B-side on Sunday for a SUNY Oneonta show. It's going to be having their rock ensemble. So, so you're working at the Autumn.
Yeah.
As, are you doing waiting or just bartending?
I was just serving at first. Okay. And then a couple years into it, I got trained on the bar.
Yeah, so... and you're still there.
I'm there on Friday nights. Yeah.
On Friday nights. Me. This is like an institution now for the, anybody that lives in Oneonta. And I believe you were also just voted best bartender, right?
Yes,
was that true?
It's true.
Well, yeah, the Daily Star Reader's Choice.
It's true. And I appreciate it very much. I have to say that Joanna at the B-side is an objectively better bartender than me and makes the most... I had a wasabi paloma there last night.
That sounds like this online
creation. And I was like, I need to try this. And it was incredible. Like, she's just such a, she is like an artist at the bar. I can just make like a wicked margarita, but I appreciate the support, Daily Star.
Both of you are amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, being a bartender is, it's funny. I bartended for 2 years at the Clinton Pub.
Cool.
This was during the, you know, it was a pretty ragged time down there, but it's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
College time. I was there a couple days a week with Blair Hammack. Blair hangs out at the, he was an institution around here too, but Blair was there. Was this before or after Gwen Hollister?
I know, you know Gwen.
Gwen. Me, Gwen, Matt. It was a bunch of us that were down there. And during a very fun time of that. But once again, you know, a bartender is, Joanne's amazing. She's incredible.
She is.
And that just wasabi sounds good.
Artist, yeah.
Yeah, I don't drink anymore, but I always go in and get those drinks.
They make amazing mocktails.
Well, I always ask for, like, the whatever they're making. I'm like, hey, can you just make it without booze in it?
Cool.
And, you know, because I go down once a week or so to go eat the B-side. But, you know, bartending's an art. I was talking to maybe it was Seymour, because he was a judge for the Chili Bowl the other day.
Yeah.
I was talking to him about just, you know, bartending and stuff like that. It's not just the drink making. There's so much going on with that. And it can actually be, you have to mentally prepare sometimes.
Oh my God. I have to meditate sometimes before I go in to like just get myself centered. Yeah.
Yeah. And on a Friday night, it's pretty busy.
Yes.
So you're slamming. But some of my best times bartending, even when I did a small amount, was when it was dead and there'd be like three or four people there because they talk.
Yeah.
And then you just wind up getting immersed in these people's lives and you see so many crazy things. From the other side, because you can look out and be like, hey, that person comes here every Thursday at 3 with this person.
Yeah.
And you wonder, you start
I've had like psychic readings done on dead nights at the bar when I'm bartending.
Right.
Like, yeah, it's the best. I love it. And I'll always keep it on my resume. I think it's one of the best life and work skills that one can possibly have. You are multitasking. You're doing it with a smile on your face. You're dealing with difficult people sometimes. You're creating, like, multiple deliverables in terms of drinks and bringing food to people. Like, it's hard. I think it's something that should be celebrated and valued in all workplaces. And, yeah, I'll always proudly have it on there.
Yeah, you can always – and you make money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that part, yeah.
Yeah, that part's good, too. You know, it's quick money is what I call it, right?
Yeah.
Quick money. Are you doing other stuff?
My day job.
Yeah, day job.
Yep. So I work for a state agency doing legislative and intergovernmental affairs.
Who knew this? Did I know this? I didn't know this. I should have known this. A state agency doing, say this again?
Legislative and intergovernmental affairs.
What does that even mean, Clark Oliver?
So state agencies are, you know, they are part of the executive, the governor's administration.
Yep.
So there is a function for state agencies to have to engage with or liaise with members of the legislature or external stakeholders like the advocacy community in the particular issue area. So that's kind of that's my thing. External affairs really is what I do. So the legislative stuff, the intergovernmentalist stuff, working with other agencies and some of the external communications.
Is this remote?
I work in person Monday through Thursday.
Okay.
Based in Albany. And then
based in Albany. Okay.
Yep. And that's where our office is.
Okay.
And
then, you living there?
No, I live here.
You live in here. That's what I was asking. Okay, yep. So you travel?
We have a place in Albany. I have a place in Albany.
You commute there Monday through Thursday?
To Albany?
Yeah.
No, I have a place in Albany, too. So home base is here.
I see what you're saying. Okay, so you have two places.
Yes.
You're fancy.
Well, I don't want to drive there every day.
Oh. I don't blame you. It's funny. Our department chair lives like right in Duanesburg, basically.
Oh, really?
He drives like there every day and comes back here. I'm like, oh, man, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people that do that commute, but, you know.
It's a lot. I like to drive because I can listen to my audiobooks and stuff. Like, that's kind of
you
my
like audiobooks?
Peace time. Yeah, I like to be read to.
I can't do it.
Especially if it's, I find that when it's the author of the book reading it to me, it just does something different for me. Like them reading their words that they wrote, I love it.
What's your current reading right now? What's your current listening reading right now?
I am reading a trilogy called, it's called The Greenbone Saga by Fonda Lee. It's a fantasy series, which I never was into. I was always very much like a nonfiction person and needed like a grounding in reality. But I read this epic series called Red Rising, which was just incredible, and I don't think I'll ever read anything as good. But yeah, so I'm reading that fantasy series right now. And whenever I talk about books, I tell everybody they have to read Braiding Sweetgrass by Robin Wall Kimmerer. She narrates the audiobook. She is an indigenous woman actually from upstate New York, and she's a plant scientist at SUNY ESF. I think she's spoken here. But the book is about marrying, like, not just justifying, but describing how, like, the Native American ways of interacting with nature, growing crops, like, their views of the world, how they're actually, like, rooted in and justified by science, and how we, as when the colonists came over, told them we know best, we actually didn't. Shocker. But it's an incredible book. I would recommend it to anybody.
Okay, that's amazing. Look at all this stuff we learned today. We learned a lot of stuff out there in Radio Land.
Good.
Yeah, this is super cool. So I'm just going to bring this up, right? Because I think there's something important. You are also quite involved in the scene of Oneonta and trying to better it, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, so, and I think sometime in the near future, we'll have you back on because you're going to be making some moves in a direction that talk about later on. But there's, I also want to have you back on at some point to talk about, because we didn't even get to it. You see how fast this goes when you're talking?
It does.
It's crazy. So we learned all about Clark today. We'll have Clark back on, and we're going to talk about, next time I have you on, maybe I can have you on in the summer sometime, we'll talk about Oneonta.
Would love to.
And just Oneonta in general and things that we could do that we think or that you think we could add to this community or work on in this community to make this a better place.
Yes.
Right. This is a super important thing and something you're very known for. I'll put it that way in the environment here. You know, and try to just you do things to make this a better place to live. I personally think.
Thank you.
So yeah, and it's super important. So, okay, so let's do this. Before we sign off here, right? Top three favorite artists you're listening to these days, music-wise. Or of all time.
Okay.
I always like to know what people like to listen to.
Okay. So, of all time, for me, I have a modern, kind of like a modern day of the past. Lana Del Rey is favorite ever. Grew up with her first album, Born to Die, came out when I was 14 and just wanted nothing more than to be like rebellious and crazy. And
I don't own this. Should own this, right?
Oh my God. It's actually, I think it's been charting on the Billboard Top 200 for like 600 weeks or something since came out. Like, she set a record like recently for a female artist.
That's crazy. I did not know this.
She's incredible. And then not of my time, but she's still with us. Thankfully, Joni Mitchell, love her.
Oh, of course.
Court and Spark, one of my favorite albums ever. Right now, though, we actually just got tickets to see Mumford & Sons at Fenway Park this summer. We saw him at Forest Hills Stadium last summer, and it was the first time I've ever seen a show there. And I grew up around that. Like, I had a friend who lived right nearby, so we loved it.
Somebody really interesting is opening up for them. It's either
Lord
Farrell or...
I love Sierra Farrell.
Is she opening up for them on some
they
of
have
these?
A, or is it Molly Tuttle? She is on a couple, like, out west. I wish... Lord Huron is opening up at mine, who I love as well, but I really like Sierra Farrell.
I was supposed to see Sierra Farrell last year at Pier 17 in the city, and it rained that day, so they canceled it, moved it to 2 days on a Monday night, and I was teaching, and I couldn't leave.
Darn.
So I had tickets to go see, haven't been able to see her. I'll get there. Molly Tuttle, I think, was also maybe doing a show or two, or has done a show with Mumford, who's amazing as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so those are good. Those are good.
Picks. Those are a few of my top right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Last thing before we sign off.
Okay.
Favorite slice of pizza from Odeonna.
Oh, gosh.
Look at. I was going to ask.
This is like the most serious question.
This is like, no, this is like an Oneonta thing. So everybody's going to be like, that's not, like, that's what people are going to remember.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I have different ones depending on different days and so forth.
Yeah.
But tell me one of your favorite slices
okay.
of pizza. If it's just straight up or from where it's from or whatever you want to say. This is not a bias towards anybody else.
No.
We love Oneonta pizza.
That's why I'm having such a hard time.
Yeah. But if right now, if we're going to leave right now, suppose it's like 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
Right? And you're going to have a slice of pizza.
A Walter.
Getting a Walter.
Mm-hmm.
The Walter is good.
Yeah. I ate that at lunchtime in high school more than I would possibly care to admit. I've probably eaten enough Walter slices to feed a small village for a year. Yeah.
Walter's awesome.
It's so good.
Sometimes I get the General Tso's one.
Also very good.
Which is really good. I also, shout out to... Dante's is amazing.
Love it.
And Sal's and Pizza Land.
They're all good.
They're all great. I go to ones on different occasions. I'm so glad Sal's is back.
Me too.
With the, shall I say, appropriate owners taking the helm.
It feels right.
It feels right. Okay, Clark, you're amazing. I'm going to sign off here. We'll be back on Monday for Heavy Metal Monday with Todd Evans. And fastly approaching show 100. I'm going to sign off so that I can get the PSA rolling. And 90.9 FM, Wony, keep it at locked. Homo Red Dragon Radio. This is DJ Nuss from R2 with What's in Your Pocket. I'll see you on Monday, y'all.
Hey, kitty, I'm home. Do you want some dinner? Okay, here you go. Okay, so you don't want dinner. What do you want, treats? Catnip? Dude, I don't know what you want. I'm just going to turn on the radio.
You're listening to WONY 90.9 FM Oneonta.
That's what you wanted? I guess I'll have to tune in more often.
What's one of your favorite memories?
Let's see. Well, there was this one time I went snorkeling in the Caribbean when I was a kid. It really just blew my mind. I mean, when you're sitting on the beach, it's so peaceful and you sort of